Well, good evening, everybody. Wow, there's so many of you here tonight. I think that's exciting. We had an opportunity a little bit ago for everyone to ask me questions, and some of you weren't here, and if you have questions that you want to ask me, I just want to let you know that, well, I'm excited to hear from you, so I hope that you'll let me know and we'll be able to talk about these things. When Wade and John and I discussed what I would teach tonight, they said they wanted, you know, maybe to see something like what we would do up in the youth room, and so I thought, well, okay, what should I teach on? Because I wanted to give you guys a good insight to what we're looking at, what I'm thinking as I'm choosing content, and what we're studying and kind of what we're building up to. So I thought maybe we would just kind of do a compilation of everything that we've done. We're not really going to do that, but I did want to give you a chance to see where we've come. When we started the first lesson that we were going through, I kind of picked up right where John had left off, studying spiritual disciplines. John had taught on the discipline of worship and how we come and we prepare ourselves to worship, and the discipline of prayer and how the power of prayer, but also how we make it a priority in our life. And we discussed the discipline of teaching and being able to teach. I picked up and we talked about the discipline of multiplying, or the discipline of discipleship. And that kind of led right into the next lesson that we started studying, was how can we be intentional disciples? So we picked up from those disciplines and we said we can be intentional disciples by the way that we choose to identify with people. And how do we make application from that? But I think identification was a good place to start, because we started seeing this picture of how Christ first identified with us. In his baptism by John, he identified with our need for repentance. On the cross, he identified with our sinfulness. He identified with us to make it possible for us to identify with him. And from identifying with him, we're able to identify not just with God, but also with God's people, and identify with community. And we looked at how discipleship happens in a community. Next, we talked about relating. Because I think this is important. If we're going to identify with community, we have to know how to make relationships work. Especially relationships that maybe don't always make sense, because we have different backgrounds and different hobbies and different things that we're interested in. So how do we make relationships? We talked about parents, and we talked about dating, and we talked about friendships. And again, we talked about relationships within a congregation. We pulled back a little bit. We really drilled into this idea of living in a community, what it looks like to be in a community. And we pulled back just to answer a simple question. Does man find God, or does God reveal himself to man? We're answering big questions. And we're getting excited about it. And before spring break, I thought it was important maybe that we just took time to figure out how do we study the Bible. We looked at just some basic principles for studying the Bible. That we can't do it without prayer. That we have to look at what the text actually says. That we have to use discernment to figure out what it means. And that we can't stop there. We have to make applications from the text. It has to mean something to us. And we have to see it transform our lives by seeking out opportunities to live out our faith. I thought what was the most cool thing about this is the timing of it was right before spring break, and I was able to buy a bunch of 1 John notebooks for a cheap, cheap price that I was able to give to the students. So we studied that, and we were able to practice those principles for studying the Bible and a study through the book of 1 John, talking about the assurance that we have in faith, the assurance of salvation that we have. I asked the students what they wanted to study next, and they gave me 2 options. They said, we want to study the book of Revelation, or we want to study world religions. My response was, I think it would be difficult to study world religions from the Bible, because the Bible, I think, you know, to sum it up, is Romans 1. says that seeking to become wise, people became fools. So I didn't want to study world religions. There wasn't a biblical basis for it. I said the best way to learn about it would maybe be to make friends. So we decided to look at the book of Revelation. Specifically, we're looking at, right now, we're going through this, and we're looking at the seven letters that Jesus had John send to the churches in the Asia Minor area. We've gone through three, so we've talked about Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum. What's cool is, through this study, we're pulling out things like church health. We've kind of gone full circle to talking about how do we make relationships in our congregation work. How do we break generational gaps and everything that looks like that? I don't know if you guys notice it or not, but we have gone full circle. We've covered a lot of ground. The question I want to ask tonight, and that I want to look at, is what do we do now? We've covered a big wealth of knowledge. We've covered an entire book of the Bible. Right now we're studying only two chapters. What do we do now? Where are we going? What we're studying is kind of laying some foundational questions. What is the Bible? Who am I? And who is God? I think if we can answer all of these questions, we can pretty well navigate most doctrinal issues, as long as we have a good idea of who I am, who God is, and what is the Bible in relation to that. Every night that we meet together, we have an opportunity to pray, to have fellowship with one another. We study the Bible, but my ask is that the students are studying the Bible throughout the week. We take time to teach. And I think we should take time to serve one another. We have pillars of ministry that we're doing together as we're working together, building upon a foundation of knowledge. We're doing it so that we can make disciples. That's our goal. What we're trying to create is disciples. Our students are disciples. And this is what we're working towards. In Hebrews chapter 5, we find our text today. We'll be reading to the end of the chapter. About this, we have much to say. Let me give you some background. Let me pause for a second. So the writer of Hebrews, at this point, he's building upon this idea. He's trying to explain who Jesus is. Not who Jesus was as a man who had an earthly ministry, but who Jesus currently is as a great high priest advocating on our behalf in heaven. And this is a huge, huge idea. He's saying, who is Jesus? I need to tell you about this, who Jesus is as this great high priest, but I don't think you can handle it. I don't think you're ready for this knowledge. And so he says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Where do we go with all of this knowledge that we've covered? There's a problem with spiritual immaturity. There's a problem that we find with spiritual immaturity when, you know, as our writer says, we're stuck on the foundational oracles of God. We can't move past these foundational things. There's so much for us to talk about, to learn, and to engage with, and to make applications with. There's so many ways that we can be transformed. We know the Bible as the infallible Word of God. sufficient for all things in life and faith. That's saying a lot. That's saying this Bible can do a whole lot of things. And we don't have to go further than this Bible to know how we should live, to how we should practice our faith. So what's wrong with spiritual immaturity? How do we know it even exists? Our writer points out a dullness towards the Word. Dullness. Think of falling asleep in class. I have fallen asleep in class, particularly math classes. There can definitely be a dullness. There can be a loss of excitement. I think it's funny that we were studying the book in Revelation, the first letter that Jesus has John send is to the church in Ephesus, who struggled with a loss of love, or they had forgotten their first love. When we studied this, we said, how do we get back to our first love? Because the problem is the church in Ephesus was doing everything they were supposed to be doing. They had great programs. They were serving with sacrifice. They were making dedicated efforts to be active. They were participating in ministry. But the problem, Jesus says, I have this against you, that you have forgotten your first love. So we ask the question, what were the instructions? How do we get back to our first love? When we looked at it, we have to remember what it was like whenever we first received faith. Change our minds and faith towards God. We allow ourselves to return to that point, evaluating what distracted us in the first place. And then we have to repeat that step. I thought it was interesting that this was what we gleaned from our study in the book of Revelation, but it applies here towards dullness too, doesn't it? That we should remember what it was like at first. We should stir up our zeal, our excitement, towards being able to worship God freely, to learn about God, to learn the intricacies of His will, and to be able to experience His will in our life. And we can repeat that. Our writer points out another example of spiritual immaturity. The good news is, I don't think our students have a dullness towards the Word. We have lively conversations about how to apply things, how to think about things. And I think this is something encouraging for us. But there's also this mark of spiritual immaturity, that we have an inability to share. Verse 12 of our text says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. I would love to add up the sum total of years of experience as Christian biblical scholars that we all are, who have studied the Bible, that we are continuing to go to Sunday school classes, to come on Wednesday nights and be taught the Word, to come on Sunday mornings and be taught the Word, to have small group discussions, to have life-changing events with the people that we're around. If we added up the sum total in this room of experience, I think we might even reach 1,000 years, 500 years. How many teachers are there? Are we willing to share what we've learned? I know that not all Christians have the gift of teaching, but all of us have the ability to share what we've learned. And I think we could add to that, we all should be willing to share what we have learned. Honestly, the problem with this comes back to what kind of a pool are we pulling from? There's an idea whenever you're teaching that you're pulling from what you've been studying, that it should come from the overflow of what we're studying. And when we teach without adding anything to that overflow becomes a stagnant pond that we're pulling from. And so we begin to teach swamp water. So maybe we don't teach because we think that we only have swamp water. I think we'd have a lot more teachers if we weren't actively involved in studying. Mark of a spiritual immaturity is that we're stuck on a baby food diet. Our text says, "You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." The idea of milk is that it's pre-digested food. It's perfect for infants. I'm not saying that we have to get away from milk completely. Even adults enjoy milk. Except for those of us who are lactose intolerant. Then maybe we should avoid it. We don't outgrow milk. These fundamentals are great, but we can't be stuck on it. We have to move on towards processing and digesting meat for ourselves. We have teeth. Our spiritual, our abilities, our teeth is our spiritual discernment, that we have the ability to discern information from the Bible. But not there to drink milk. No matter how much a mother or a father or a grandparent cuddles a newborn, their goal for them is to grow up one day and to see them grow up. Not to be stuck on baby food. It says that the mark of an immature or a spiritually immature person, that they're unskilled in using the word. This is what we get at when we talk about applications. Now, I have to admit, I have found myself pushing, as I study personally, to make immediate applications in the word. I had lunch with a friend, and he told me that what I was doing was wrong. Well, immediate applications are good. Sometimes we have to take that bit of scripture with us, that bit of study with us, so that God can use it in the moment. It's not about making immediate applications and going. It's about letting it work on us. And when I say it, I'm talking about God's word and God's will. We've come back to this slide at least 6 times in the last 6 months. There is no area of our life that can go unaffected by the truth that we find in Scripture. The mark of a spiritually immature person is that they read and forget. I think James said that they look in the mirror and they walk away. We make application and we learn from it. My goal in working with all of you, and I want you to know this, is that we're not making spiritually immature disciples, but that we're making people who are able to digest meat, that are able to study on their own, able to bring insights to Bible study on their own, because I'm limited. Our goal is to make disciples. Because one day you're going to be called to make your own disciples. To meet your own friends. To live in your own peer group. To pick up your own batons in your church. We have been studying all year long, focusing on making sure that there is no area of our life that goes unaffected by Scripture. by the truths that we can find in God's infallible, breathed-out Word. By practicing spiritual disciplines on a regular basis, which includes studying and praying, so that we understand God's love for us. So that we understand that rather than love defining God, that God defines that love. So that we can be intentional disciples, relating with people, allowing God to reveal to him the truths that he has for us. So that we can share the assurance that we have in our eternal destiny. I'll just ask if anyone has any questions. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Is there anything else? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you for giving us your word, for caring about us enough to give us instruction for life. Father, thank you for the people that are here, for the support that we have as a church, as a youth ministry. God, thank you for planting us where you'd have us. God, I pray that we would practice our ability to discern, that we'd continue to rely on you as we grow to honor and to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.